Philip Van Winkle has been in a study of the book of Jude. And now, here's Philip.
We've been discussing Jude chapter 1 and verse 3, though we want to continue discussing it because it's a very important verse, especially in the times in which we live. We're specifically talking about keeping or contending for the faith. And we've been talking about what the faith is. It is the gospel system. It is the New Testament. That's what we have determined for the faith to be. But we're talking about defending it or keeping it. And we had mentioned a couple of passages, and let's look at them again. He says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 17, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Obviously, Paul believed that it was worth defending, that there was something about the gospel that was different from every other thing, and it needed to be defended. Well, what was it? You know, at that time, there were lots of gods. There were lots of ways to reach happiness or heaven, or if you want to call it heaven. There were lots of gods that you could worship, and they would reward you. There were all kinds of different things. But Paul says, I am set to defend the gospel. It needed to be defended. Peter says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, 1 Peter 3:15. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so it was delivered. It was delivered so that we would proclaim it. And it was also delivered to help us to defend it, so that you and I can live by it properly. Folks, it is the only rule of faith that has been given to us by which we are to live. Again, Paul writing in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, says, let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come to see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Notice that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. James says you need to be doers of the word and not hearers only. What is the word? It is the gospel. It is the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. I think we used this analogy last time. If a man were to come and give you a really nice Porsche, he had a silver Porsche, it was a convertible. He said, Philip, I want you to look after my Porsche. I want you to watch it. I want you to make sure nothing happens to it. I'm going to be back in 2 months, and I will get it from you then. Do you mind doing that for me? Oh, I don't mind that. And I just let it sit out in the front yard, and I let the weather beat down on it, and here comes my limbs from my trees. They're falling down and stabbing it and puncturing it. Well, I'm not keeping his car. You and I understand that when we have something precious that is given to us that we are to take care of, then we need to take care of it. You know, if someone were to look at that Porsche and I happened to be looking out my window and I saw some people and they were trying to steal that Porsche, I would go out there and defend it. Wouldn't you? Of course you would. You would go and defend it. Why? Because it's precious and someone put you in charge of watching it. Well, what are we saying? Folks, we have the Word of God. The very God-breathed Word that brings life, soul-saving life to people. And it is so precious. It is so precious, you will remember when we studied the book of 1 Peter, it is so precious that the angels desired to look into it, to find out what it was all about. It is so precious, and God has given it to us to care for. And now he says, earnestly contend for the faith. That word, contend, literally means to struggle with adversaries, to fight, to deal with any antagonism that comes towards it. I one time went to a congregation. The teacher of the class was teaching this verse, and he said, and I'm going to just quote it because I wrote it down. He said, now this verse doesn't mean that we are to defend our belief. This verse really means that we are to live our lives so that others will see Christ living in us. Well, now, folks, I want you to understand something. The Bible clearly teaches that we are to live our lives so that other people will see Christ living in us. But this is not what that teaches. This teaches us that we are to contend earnestly. This is the same Greek word as the word strive. It comes from the Greek word agonizomai. In fact, go over to Luke chapter 13 and let's look at this together. In Luke chapter 13, verse 24, Jesus says, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say, unto you will seek to enter in, but shall not be able. Strive to enter in at the strait gate. You struggle at it. You fight for it. You are contending to get into that strait gate because a lot of people are going to try, but they're not going to be able. And so this is the same word that we're talking about, this word strive. Go over to John chapter 18 and verse 36. You will recall the situation. Pilate has called Jesus before him. He's asked him if he is a king. Jesus answered in John chapter 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants agonizomai fight that I would not be delivered to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from hence. You see here, agonizomai. We take a word straight out of it, to agonize. To fight for the faith, to struggle, to defend it. We need to see some things here that we can learn about this passage. You and I, we have been given this faith. We are to protect it, like that fancy car that we mentioned earlier. We are to protect it from anything that would come about it. Folks, it is true that we need to live our lives so that others will see Christ living in us, but that is not what this verse teaches. This verse teaches there are going to be false teachers out there, and they're going to say certain things about what the Bible means or what the Bible doesn't mean, but we've been given the faith, and we are to fight for that faith. You know, someone, and I've heard this said for years too, someone might say, well, you think you know everything. No, I don't. I learn, however, from this passage. I know that I can know the difference between what is right and what is not right. How else can I contend for something? People say, well, you can't really know anything for sure. How are you going to contend for anything if you cannot know anything? Someone says, well, you think you know everything? No, I don't. I don't know everything. Is your understanding of the Bible completely perfect always? No, it's not. But folks, this passage was written to a group of people who were not perfect. They did not have perfect knowledge, but they were told to contend earnestly for the faith. And just, folks, because I may not know everything, just because I may not know everything, doesn't mean that I don't know anything. Certainly, you and I can know enough to defend the truth of God's Word. One thing I know about myself, I am not a mathematician. I don't know very much at all about math. But, folks, I want to assure you of this. I know. That I know, that I know, that I know that 2 plus 2 equals 4. I know, as a matter of fact, that 2 plus 2 equals 4. And if the salvation of the world depended upon believing that 2 plus 2 equals 4, I would spend the rest of my life while I'm here fighting for the truth, fighting to defend the fact that 2 plus 2 equals 4. I would go all over the world preaching and teaching, everyone, if you want to be saved, 2 plus 2 equals 4. Now, if someone comes along and says to me, "Hey, do you know every single thing that there is to know about mathematics and equations?" I'd say, "No, I sure don't know that. But I do know this. 2 + 2 = 4. Folks, this verse tells me that I can know what I need to do to be saved. And once I know it, I must contend earnestly for it." It does make a difference what one believes and practices in religion. Folks, if it didn't matter what one believed and what one practiced in religion, there would be no reason to contend for the faith. Why not just let some fellow believe whatever he wants? I mean, if it doesn't really matter, then just let the false teachers come right in and just let them teach whatever they want. Who cares? But Jude says it does make a difference. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Folks, we need to see this too. Standing for what is right may be tough. There are times it may be painful, it may be costly, it may be dangerous, and yet we must do it. Earnestly contend, earnestly strive, fight for. That tells me that there's going to be some kind of pain involved with it. The world is going to not like when you tell them that they're living in sin. They're not going to like it. They might even persecute you because of it. Has there ever been a fight, a struggle, where there wasn't any pain? But despite the danger and despite the pain, despite the cost, you and I must contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, and it's found right here in the Word of God. And I want you to understand something, folks. I may not know every single thing that the Bible teaches, but I can tell you what you need to do to be saved. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Mark chapter 16, verse 16 says so. You need to repent of your sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says so. You need to confess Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33 says so. You need to be baptized in order so that you can have forgiveness of sins. Acts 2, 38 says so.